Welcome to The Ether. Today is Thursday, January 20th, 2022. This episode of The Ether is brought to you by Talus. Talus Protocol is the NFT platform for independent artists on Terra. Talus helps to provide artists with the tools and resources needed to transition from traditional art into the NFT world. With their V1 launch coming soon, Talus will be the place to see real-world art reflected on Terra. Find your next favorite artist on talus.art. Also, be sure to join their Telegram and follow Talus on Twitter using the link in the show notes for updates on their roadmap, validator, and other Talus news. Find out more at talus.art. TerraSpaces appreciates their support. Today on the Ether, we have the Themis, Terra, UST, DeFi, and lending to the metaverse space. Let's take a listen.
All right, looks like we still have a few people coming in here. Let's give them just a couple minutes to show up. Welcome, everybody.
Hey, hey.
All right, Zion.
Testing, testing.
And Nate.
Great to be here.
Testing. I figured maybe we could give him up to 5 minutes to kind of stagger in fashionably late.
There's another AMA going right now. So hopefully they kind of siphon off a little bit there.
Yeah, the Prism base with Cephi is going on. In a Terra ecosystem, that's a big deal.
Yeah, I think that started like an hour ago, though, right? So it should probably be wrapping up.
That's Cephi we're talking about.
Oh, I know. Yes, I know.
Yeah. So Zion, Nate. All right, you guys are with Terra.
Yeah.
Zion, you do communications for Terra. Nate, you're in. You do research and strategy?
Research, strategy, governance, and kind of, as you know, any like rapidly growing startup, we do everything. Roles don't mean anything. We work there and we do a lot of stuff.
Yeah. We're thinking today that maybe we'd start off just talking about stablecoins in general. I mean, it's such a central part to our strategy at Themis, and obviously a huge part of what you guys do.
Yeah. Absolutely. Let's do it. Maybe tell us a little bit about what you're thinking, how you think it fits in with UST, and then we'll add what we think on our end.
Yeah, sure.
I can take over for you. Ethos behind Themis is pretty straightforward, right? We want to unlock liquidity for the metaverse, and we're starting with the low-hanging fruit, aka the AMMs of the world, right? So LPs of the world. And we're looking at it, and we're like, hey, what's the most technical, from a technical standpoint, which one is a difficult one, right? So, and then we look at V3. Yeah, that's pretty difficult. So that's why we started with UniV3 NFT LPs as the starting point. And then, you know, and as we realized this, like, hey, when we were creating the model, you know, we wanted to create a marketplace model. And, you know, we had a, you know, discussion inside the team, and we were talking about, hey, should we, you know, create another stable coin, right? So basically, you know, if you deposit LPs, you know, you mint stable coins. We had, you know, furious discussion around it. And ultimately, the team basically decided, hey, you know, I think the market has enough stable coins in it. We want to create a marketplace where we're actually creating more demand for stable coins in general, right? So that's why we proceeded with the current infrastructure that Themis has. And, you know, that's why when we reach out to you guys and you guys were super down, it was amazing. You know, that felt great. It felt organic. It felt, just strategically aligned, right? So that's just the first step. And the beauty of it, it's we're not even on the Terra ecosystem. We're just on the ETH ecosystem. And you know, guess what? UST has a pretty sweet TVL on UniV3 as well. So, you know, it makes a lot of sense, right? And where we are able to unlock more efficiency on top of what has already been built on V3, right? It's 4,000x from a stablecoin perspective, it's 4,000x more efficient than V2, just because you can set the range. And with Themis involved now, you know, slap in another, at least another 65%, 165%. That's like, you know, game changer. So we're just super excited to kind of launch out our first version of Themis. And then as we continue to grow, you know, definitely looking forward to hop onto, you know, different ecosystem when, you know, the V3 environment makes sense over there. So that's kind of like an overview.
All right. So, you know, one of the things we read about today, I'm sure you guys probably heard, but USDC flipped Tether. This is I figured you guys might be excited about this.
On what metric? Because I was looking at a CoinGecko. So what metric are you using on there?
Is it market cap or volume? I'm not sure which metric it was. I've just been seeing the headlines all over Twitter today.
It can't be total market cap. It must be like, I don't know. Let me look real quick.
Is it daily trade volume?
It must be, because I mean, Tether still has a market cap of close to nearly 80 billion, whereas USDC is still down in the, shouldn't say still, it's amazing. It's up in the upper 40s.
It's incredible. I don't know how. God, yeah. I can't imagine it's daily trading volume though, because I feel like that.
Tether still dominates that, yeah.
I just took a look at it. It's total supply.
That makes sense. Yeah, it's probably like you look at it from a velocity metric, right? If you look at, look at UST, look at USDC from velocity metrics, right? They're going to definitely tip Tether at some point if you just chart them out.
So yeah, I think with the USDC coming in, and it just means, I don't know, it's just from my perspective, it just means it's more institution capital flowing in, right? Compared to maybe USDT. So that might be, you know, definitely interesting segue to kind of talk about UST, right? Because, you know, I know you guys are aggressively deploying UST outside of the Terra ecosystem, which is amazing. But just out of curiosity, and I'm sure our listeners are curious about it as well, you kind of talk more about the strategies behind all this, you know, deploying of UST.
Yeah. Go ahead, Zion. I'll follow.
Yeah, I can take this one, Nate. So UST, just so people know, we'll give a brief overview here. I'll give a brief overview of what UST and how it kind of differs from some of these other stablecoin options that people have available to them. So if we're looking at a couple of the stablecoins we just mentioned, USDT and USDC, a couple of the problems with those stablecoins is they're censorship prone. So they could be shut down by regulatory agencies if they came under pressure. Additionally, they are backed by things like commercial paper, which is something that could fluctuate in value. And in addition to that, you know, these are centralized entities. These are companies that own these stablecoin assets. And so there's a lot of risks involved with centralized stablecoins. And to be honest with you, you know, the mantra that the Terra ecosystem kind of, you know, the mantra that motivates the Terra ecosystem builders, as well as the community evangelists, is this idea of decentralized money for a decentralized economy. And, you know, all of us in the crypto space understand the importance of things like decentralization, censorship resistance, disintermediation, things like that, right? And so UST kind of embodies all of that, as it's decentralized and algorithmic, meaning it does not maintain its peg using things like collateral, which these other stablecoins do, such as USDC, USDT, DAI. You know, a lot of DAI is now backed by USDC, which is a centralized stablecoin company. And so in addition to that, UST also has a ton of utility throughout the Terra ecosystem and is expanding that utility onto other chains as well at the moment. And on protocols like Anchor Protocol, which we actually, Nate and I were doing an AMA earlier today for Anchor Protocol on Twitter Spaces. This is a protocol where you can actually see the utility for UST in action, because you're able to earn roughly 20% fixed interest yield on your UST deposits through that protocol. And so there's a ton of different elements of UST that you could call them competitive advantages that they have over other centralized stablecoin options out there for people. And we see that over time, you know, people are recognizing that UST is, it makes the most sense to be utilized within a decentralized economy, right? So, you know, the whole idea, the whole ethos in crypto is this idea of translating the trust from centralized entities, from governments to the individual, right? To having them be able to make their own decisions over their financial future and the way that they interact in and around the internet. And so UST kind of embodies that ethos, and it has been growing incredibly rapidly because of that and because of the community's support for that ideology. And so I think we're going to continue to see that moving forward as people recognize these other stable coins and the risks that are involved with them.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't have said that any better. And you're definitely seeing a lot of adoption. And as Anchor grows cross-chain, you're going to see even more adoption. As Wormhole picks up, you're going to see even more adoption. As, you know, Terra Core and TFL work directly with creating partnerships with different decentralized exchanges and on-ramps, it's just going to continue to grow, if not at a quicker rate.
So maybe
sorry, I just wanted to add one thing real quick.
Yeah, go on, please.
Jump to the next question or topic. So one thing I wanted to add there is when we're thinking about, you know, seeding UST liquidity on these different protocols like Themis, the idea behind that is to ensure that everyone has access to this decentralized censorship-resistant stablecoin, right? So one of the challenges with centralized stablecoins and also like different areas that people are in around the world is access, right? Access to these different financial primitives that exist in the DeFi ecosystem, as well as just access to this decentralized economy. And so we want to ensure that everyone has access to a decentralized censorship-resistant stablecoin on all these different chains. And so that's one of the reasons, that's the main reason why we see, you know, Luna liquidity across these different networks.
Yeah, that's great. That kind of plays into what I was going to ask you next. And, you know, you guys just deployed $10 million in liquidity to Themis. And I guess we probably want to know, what was it about Themis that made you guys confident in making a commitment like that?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I'm actually not sure if Nate or I are the right person to answer it, just because Nate got looped into this because of me to do the AMA. And I actually got added to the chat after things had already been worked out with the seeding the liquidity on Themis. And so I think that would be a question better served for maybe a future AMA.
Well, you know, how about we say it this way? What is it about a protocol? If you guys were looking for like the ideal protocol to say deploy liquidity onto, what would be some characteristics of it? Like, what is it that you guys look for?
User adoption, future projected growth. Those are two things I would say. I'm not really on the core TFL adoption team, but you know, there's a lot of things like that. And you know, if you look at like the reason Doe, you know, stepped up with MIM was because you just saw the exponential growth with that. Mm-hmm. And so also looking at core areas, especially I think like the metaverse and NFT space, where there's still so much more unbounded growth. Those are gray areas for UST adoption.
Yeah.
I mean, and do you guys feel that like stablecoins are more ripe for adoption than say a governance token?
We might have lost him there. Twitter's been having some issues with Android users. So if he has Android, then
oh, you just got called out. Dox is an Android user.
Yeah, but you now know who are Android users.
No, one of the things I heard you talk about was maybe user adoption, and it's something we think a lot about at Themis. And You know, we've seen Terra grow just so much. Can you guys talk a little bit about sort of what you guys have done to try to grow your user base?
Yeah. Yeah, I can talk to that. And then Nate, definitely, I'd love to hear your thoughts on this as well. I think one of the things that I've seen in the DeFi economy is narrative driving growth. And the narratives that persist and the ideas and quote unquote whys that exist, you know, backing these different visions for different protocols and chains are ultimately what drive the user adoption at the end of the day. People need to believe in the protocols. They need to believe in the blockchains that they're interacting in. They need to believe in the teams. They need to believe in, you know, all sorts of stuff like that, right? And so with Terra, what has really bootstrapped Terra's growth up to this point is the idea of decentralized money for a decentralized economy and people believing that that's the future that we're moving towards. And I see we have Zahn from our team as well in here that just requested to speak. So if he has something he wants to add here, I'll let him pop in as well. But Nate, if there's anything you want to add on top of that as well, I think that's really the main driver right
now. Hey, my man's on.
So, yo, just hopping in to answer a previous question about why we love Themis. I think it's an easy decision. Like, Themis is unlocking so much capital that was previously locked before behind these NFTs that represent your UniV3 positions. It's a no-brainer why we wouldn't fund something like this just as a way to get extra UST out into the world, because now when you have your UST LP positions, you can borrow against it, and that's clearly a value add to the entire blockchain space.
I think that really speaks to like the core ethos of why Themis was founded, was to unlock capital, unlock liquidity that's currently locked.
Yeah, perfect. Exactly. Totally on board with that. And I think that's why this was such an easy decision to do.
That's great. David, do you want to, David is our co-founder. Do you want to speak a little bit more about that maybe?
Yeah, sure. I mean, yeah, it was still, you know, it was just like yesterday, right? I still remember vividly, you know, when we were able to talk to the Luna guys. I was a fanboy, so I was like, you know, hey, I like you guys, and we're doing this, and I think this could help you guys more, right? And then immediately they were down. They were like, wow, that makes sense. And then we started the whole governance process, and you know, it's just. You know, one of the best teams that I work with and talk to in terms of decision making, in terms of process, you know, everything is, you know, top notch in my opinion. You know, not to badmouth some of the projects out there, but a lot of people, especially projects out there, they're just too comfortable in my opinion. And, you know, they don't understand that the Luna guys are, you know, working their butts off, even though they're like the top 10 coin, right? Top 10 project on CMC, and with the pace they're currently working on, you know, I think other projects should be careful. You know what I mean? They should definitely make sure that they're, you know, they focus on their project. Otherwise, you know, someone else is gonna take over their market share. But with that said, yeah, I think what we're trying to achieve here with Themis, just on the ETH network, currently there's about 4 billion. It fluctuates, but currently there's about 4 billion in unlock and liquidity that we're able to unlock. And that's just the one sector of it, right? And then we're going to unlock V2. And then ultimately our ethos is to go across chain. And then we're going to do a lot more stuff. For example, stake LPs. That's, you know, basically allowing projects, you know, to still incentivize users with their farming, et cetera, et cetera. But we'll be, you know, able to allow that. You know, that's definitely part of our vision into what Themis is trying to do. And you know, one of the reasons why we picked Themis is because we want it to be fair, right? So another kind of talking point is, you know, when a position is being liquidated, it's actually not directly synced into a, for example, a market maker, right? Or for example, someone with the fastest computer, right? Or the fastest network, or the person that pays the highest gas fee. It's actually, synced into a very straightforward and easy UI design where everybody can participate, right? So not just, someone with technical experience, but, the goal is to have your grandma being able to use this, right? Being able to ARP that fee from liquidation. So yeah, that's why we came up with the name and the ethos, and moving forward, I look forward to more partnership with the Luna team, and especially helping UST get more adoption. I think this is, in terms of what you guys are doing, it's definitely needed. We don't have to go into talking about USDT or the problem with USDT or USDC just because you guys probably know this better than I do. It's one, centralized, which means if the government wants to shut it down, they can, right? And, they can just blacklist your address, et cetera, et cetera. But that's, obviously a huge problem, and that's not really, what the Web3 ethos is about, right? So that's definitely a, no-brainer just on that point. But on top of that, there's just so much more where, creating an environment, a protocol where, it's if you think about it, what's the use case for US dollar or just any other currency, right? It's pretty much to pay your taxes. And if you don't, they jail you. And a military behind it, right? Regardless of what currency, right? But then if you think about Web3 stablecoins, they actually create new products, right? To incentivize you to use it. So that itself is just beautiful. And I just am just so excited about this partnership. And I look forward to creating more, unlocking more liquidity with the Luna guys.
Yeah, man, this is kind of a change of topic, but it's something that's kind of exciting, a lot of fun, right? Building a community. Okay, the lunatics out there on Twitter, I mean, they're some of the most vocal and some of the probably the coolest community from any crypto protocol out there. How have you guys gone about building such a unique and active and engaged community?
I mean, I'll throw this out there. I mean, just from my perspective of what got me into the community was you get what you give kind of mentality and this altruistic mentality. There's never really a place where someone is going to withhold information from you. And as you start that kind of camaraderie, it spreads like wildfire, right? And if you help someone, they're going to help somebody. And I think that's obviously had to start somewhere. I'm not sure who or how, but Doe has always been a very vocal person, sharing a lot of ideas and getting people excited. So that's kind of my idea around how you build a great community.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. And I echo that 100%. I mean, the lunatic community is very generous. And so you talk to different people in the space, and there's a Twitter space that was just going on. I don't know if it still is going on, but it's with this guy named Sephi and this other guy, Hyperion, who's creating Prism Protocol. It's going to be launching soon. But what Sephi does is he dedicates like hours and hours of his time. And this is not an exaggeration. Like one of his Twitter spaces will last like 5 to 6 hours. And he's super knowledgeable. He's not just some random degen. Like this is like very likely a massive crypto whale with a ton of insight into like, decades of experience in investing. And he will discuss and answer questions with community members in the Terra community on Twitter spaces for hours. And it's stuff like that that you'll see across the space with other people as well. Lunomics is another one. There's a ton of people, that host these Twitter spaces, that write these great tweet threads, that, make these videos. Don Kuar is a great one. There's a ton of people, and it's one of those things that, kindness and camaraderie and just community begets more community. And so you start to see what everyone rallies behind is this idea of decentralized money for a decentralized economy. And that's what kind of binds everyone together, right? Everyone believes in that. Everyone believes in UST and that being the dominant money across Web3. And that's what ultimately motivates builders to build these amazing protocols like Anchor and Prism and, you know, all these other ones. And that's ultimately what gets people off their ass to, you know, get on a Twitter space for 5 hours and answer people's questions from the community. And so that's ultimately, I guess, what has really, in my mind, that's what's driven the growth in the community and the strength of the Lunatic community as well.
And I think building off that a little bit, Luna Foundation Guide, LFG, this seems like is it a relatively new initiative for you guys? Seems like it's dedicated towards community growth education.
Yep, 100% new. It had only been in the works for maybe like a month or so before Doe kind of dropped some alpha on it like last week or two ago. And yeah, it's just really trying to be, so it's a nonprofit, right? That's one key thing to keep in mind, right? This is a nonprofit. Sure. It's going to give all of the money away to ecosystem development growth. That's its sole purpose and mission. And then that, again, reiterates what we were just talking about, right? This ethos of altruism and this ethos of just really being philanthropic to help create this virtuous cycle of growth in the ecosystem.
Yeah. So just to expound on that a bit, you know, in terms of what the LFG is, and I love the acronym as well. being a memer in the crypto space, you got to love that the acronym is LFG. But yeah, so as Nate just touched upon, this is it's a nonprofit foundation, and we're, you know, really the LFG. I think the idea behind this is to really support open source development, research and education, as well as community growth in the decentralized economy. And the initial focus will be on Terra specifically and projects that are integrating UST into their protocol. But there's a ton of other things that the LFG will fund as well that are not protocols specifically. So as long as they're around those sorts of goals, you know, open source development, like fostering open source software development and applications, you know, research and education. I mean, there's a ton of people that do stuff like that in the Terra community that I'm sure are going to be getting some funding, and then community growth as well. I mean, these are all, it's kind of like a three-pronged approach here in terms of the way that LFG is trying to fund things. And they're also hiring as well. So if people in this call or listening in on the recording are interested in working in crypto, going full-time into crypto, I know a lot of people that interest a lot of people, you can go to lfg.org and then you can send an email to jobs@lfg.org, get in touch with the people that are going to be hiring for these sorts of positions, and get started on your journey going into crypto full-time or transitioning from a role in crypto to a role at LFG.
Yeah, and I just want to just hammer home one point about the open source thing, because a lot of people think that in the crypto space, everything's open source. But case in point, go look at the Solana ecosystem, right? If you want to kind of borrow from any code repository based there, it's super hard, right? We were, for example, like Loop was looking to do a centralized on-chain order book, and really we don't have many examples of those live yet. There are some being built, but there's no like open source repository on a CW20 standard on a Cosm Wasm module to do that, right? And that just limits the growth of the ecosystem when it's not open source. And so this is a huge, huge cornerstone of why this is important.
David, do you want to hop in here?
No.
It's all right.
No, yeah.
Yeah,
on this one, but no, I think they've done a fantastic job kind of explaining it.
Yeah. All right, another thing we kind of wanted to talk about was Astroport, Lockdrop, liquidity bootstrapping auction. It's something that Themis has been sort of thinking about, maybe to try to bootstrap even more liquidity for the protocol. This is maybe a new standard in DeFi. Can you guys talk a little bit about like how this came to be, sort of how you guys were thinking about it?
Yeah.
Well, to be clear, like Astroport is not at all part of EFL, right? It's kind of a collaborative Delphi / external party collaboration. So just want to be clear, while, you know, sure, TFL had some help sent their way, it was still mostly out of TFL's hands. Just want to be clear on that.
Yeah, yeah.
I can speak, you know, give my thoughts on the Astroport Lockdrop event, like what went well, what didn't go well. I think what we're seeing in the wider DeFi economy is token launches learning and iterating off of previous token launches. And we've especially seen this in the Terra ecosystem. You know, every token launch is getting better than the last. I think we're seeing that with the way Prism is approaching their TGE as well. But Astroport specifically, one of the things that I thought was cool about what they did was, from my perspective, you know, as an investor, I thought it was actually cool that I would be able to be rewarded for future behaviors now. Because if you think of the time value of money and you understand that a dollar today is worth more than a dollar tomorrow, then you want to get your rewards now so then you can utilize them in some way to hopefully generate some cash flow or some yield for yourself that you can then use for various things in the DeFi economy. And so what Astroport did was they basically said, okay, you can lock up your LP on our platform for a specific period of time. And the longer that you lock it up for, the more Astro tokens we're going to give you. And so we're incentivizing you to provide your liquidity in the future, but we'll reward you today. And that's one thing that I really liked and I thought was like the real standout feature of that token launch event. One thing I thought they didn't do well was give their token utility as soon as the protocol launched. So what we've seen with Astro's price since it launched, and full disclosure, like I'm an Astro bull myself. Like I love Astroport. I think it's going to be huge. It already is over 1 billion in TVL, but I think once they launch some of these other features, it's going to be massive, even bigger than it is today. Sorry, did you want to jump in there?
No, I was just being a fanboy and agreeing.
Oh yeah.
It's massive, dude. Yeah. It's
massive. Yeah. I mean, what they're, you know, the liquidity that they were able to, you know, soak up in this Lockdrop event before they even launched a product was nothing short of amazing in my mind. I mean, there was money was just pouring into this from all areas of the ecosystem. And it was amazing to see as a lunatic. But one thing I thought that didn't go well, like I said, is that, you know, when Astroport actually launched the AMM, the Astro token didn't, you know, doesn't still have any utility, right? And you can't even see your Astro rewards on the Astroport UI. And so that's one thing that's going to have a negative impact on your token's, you know, price and the perceived value of it, because people don't have anything to do with their Astro token. So now you just gave them a bunch of free money, basically, that now they can just sell and dump to get, you know, UST and buy more Luna in the Terra ecosystem, or, you know, do something else with it, right? And so what we're seeing with Prism, the difference they're taking is they're saying, okay, we'll give you Prism tokens, right? You can buy Prism tokens, you can get them in phase one, but we're going to also implement X Prism initially within the first launch phase. So there's going to be utility for the token right off the bat, versus what Astroport did, which there's no utility for Astro right now. And until they fix that, the token's just it's continuing to dump right now is what we're seeing.
Interesting. So Nate, were you going to hop in? I'm sorry.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, 100% agree. And it shows, you know, just giving a farming opportunity for your token really probably isn't the best. You know, having a staking option would have been a little better, in my opinion. Not sure. We'll see how they remedy that. And yeah, the not having the staking reward or the APYs for the pools is having some pretty bad reverberating effects with really confused users too. So if a user doesn't know how to use your protocol and doesn't understand what's happening, they get scared and they abandon ship.
Yeah, and you know that's a key point there, because, you know, the user experience right now, you know, on Astroport is impacted because of a couple of these minor things that they could change, right? The UI, which, I mean, this is stuff that, based on my understanding of, like, you know, tweets that the team has put out and different, you know, discourse with the community, they're going to be adding utility functionality for Astro soon. You're going to be able to stake it to get X Prism, which will give you a cut of the protocol fees, as well as governance rights, I believe. And so that's coming soon. And that once that functionality is implemented, I think we'll start to see people support Astro more. And I'm just excited because they do have a ton in the pipeline. And I think that their launch was interesting in some ways, but those are the key areas I think they, you know, future protocols are improving in.
Yeah, I think it would have been great to have the government, like they put a lot of time and tooling into the governance too. Their governance model is a very elaborate and very well thought out. And it would have been great to, if they're trying to really build a decentralized platform right off the bat, instead of like a centralized entity, I thought that would have been great to have that utility of the governance up as well when it launched. But I mean, nothing's a perfect world. And, you know, if anyone's built a protocol, it's really easy to sit here and attack when I think we've all been in the seat of developing a protocol, knowing that looking back is really easy to say, oh, you should have done that or you should have done this.
Hindsight is 2020, Nate.
It is.
I mean, even so, it's definitely, it's a good thing to think about, making sure that your token has like a very clear utility to, you know, make people want to hold it instead of just something that you can cash in on an airdrop and dump it as quickly as possible. There've been so many airdrops lately, like all over Twitter. Just like, have you ever spent gas on OpenSea before? Here's tokens for free.
Yeah. And you know, on that point, I think Flipside's a company that puts out a lot of great research and analytics around just cryptocurrency and DeFi in general. And I think they released something recently about how airdrops just aren't really effective in some ways, kind of like what you're talking about now. You know, a lot of people get an airdrop, they claim it, they dump it. And so it's not as effective as, I mean, like the thing is, like we're in the nascent stages of DeFi. We're in the very, very early days of DeFi. And so we're still working out the kinks. Everything's an experiment at this point, and we're seeing what works, what doesn't work. And so that's why I love to see, you know, protocols like Prism and others. Like, it's not just Prism. It's just like every new protocol, like I'm sure the protocol after Prism is going to improve on the TGE. And it's, for those that don't know, it's token generation event for Prism. You know, they're going to, like Lavana and other protocols are going to learn from it, and they're going to iterate on it as well. But airdrops are just one way to. I like the way that someone posed this once. They said, I actually think it was Jose from Delphi Digital. He was saying airdrops are a way to reward past behavior, and lock drops are a way to incentivize future behavior.
Yeah, 100%. We have to move away from the airdrop model. I know it's going to be unpopular, but it really didn't do what it was supposed to. And 100%, as Zion said, look at the Flipside data. It's effective to do one airdrop, right? And possibly. But the remaining airdrops, it's just a pain in the ass. I think we all have probably let weekly airdrops stack for weeks and weeks, if not months. I'm guilty of it myself, because it just goes against like basic conversion sales 101, right? Yes. the more clicks you have, the less people are going to click. So why did we decide that we're going to make people click once a week, every week for 3 years?
That's a good point. Speaking of that topic, you know, airdropping, I forgot who did I have a discussion with, but this person, you know, Giga Brain in the industry, where he basically brought it up where, hey, if you do not have a skin in the game, when you get the airdrop, what are you going to do, right? If you don't understand the project, if you don't have, you know, aligned with the project, right, in terms from an ethos perspective, if you're not using the product, right, if it's a protocol, then when you get the free, aka free money, what are you going to do, right? And you're just going to cash it out. So from a conversion standpoint, you're basically spending money, right? Because if you're airdropping from a protocol standpoint, you're diluting your community, or you're just, you know, diluting yourself in general. Then it's you're not only wasting your resources, but you're not getting what you want, right? I guess you guys are definitely on point with the airdrop, just the airdrop, you know, I think protocols are quickly understanding that, and you know, and I'm, you know, as you know, the co-founder of Themis, we're looking, we're learning, and we're like, okay, maybe that's not a good thing to do, and we're pivoting away from it, right? So instead of just airdropping to, you know, quote unquote potential user, however you want to come up with the metrics, or just social media for the social media hype, I think the better way to kind of do it is, how do we incentivize them to get their skin in the game, or at least know about the product, or at least try about the product before even awarding them, right? So I think, you know, Uniswap's model, ENS model, where they, you know, have a product first and then they airdrop to their previous users, that's pretty cool. And that could be a good model in some ways, right? The thing I don't like about it is they're kind of secretive about it. I don't know why. And it's kind of not public. So it's kind of, you know, some user felt left out, or things like that. But, you know, so that's something that I'll kind of, you know, improve on. But other than that, I mean, Lockdrop is just amazing. The way the design to attract such a high liquidity at such a short time, it's just amazing. And yeah, that's definitely something Themis is looking at, and it's learning it from, you know, the pros and the cons. And like you guys said, right, without utility, without product, you know, it doesn't matter how great of incentives you set up. If you don't have a product to back it, it's going to, you know, create some kind of short-term pullback in terms of momentum. But yeah, I am still very bullish in terms of what Astroport is trying to do and trying to achieve. And hey, they're extra, you know, clients of ours, right? In a sense where we want to unlock the liquidity, if that makes sense.
Certainly makes sense. So what are you guys thinking about doing for your token launch? Are you just still kind of in the very exploratory phases?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. So there's definitely more information to come to. We are not, you know, doing a TGE before our product launch. So tomorrow our product will launch. So that's like a huge, you know, big deal of us, and want to make sure, you know, all is smooth, you know, make sure that everything runs smoothly. User experience is great, right? Security, we're audited by security, so we're pretty confident in that. But, you know, I guess the main focus right now is just the product, right? How does our user like our product, right? The UI, the experience of it. And then we can, you know, talk about TGE and then, you know, the incentives and all that. But we do have plans for that. It's just that we want to focus all of our energy into UI UX for our product, right? In a sense where user can use it and they feel like they're comfortable using it, right? So that's super important to us. And then, you know, yeah, we definitely would love to have another AMA to kind of talk about TG and then, you know, kind of like our own version of Lockdrop and Airdrop. And
yeah.
Lockdrop and OBA, yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, really, really exciting. Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think a lot of protocols get too hyped up in launching their token before they actually launch the protocol. So definitely like that model.
Yeah, no token, no problem, right? Less problem.
Exactly.
Especially with a DeFi protocol, like honestly, if you don't launch your token well, it's going to be so difficult to crawl out of it, right? So yep. That becomes such a important aspect of it. And if you're launching too early, and we're all under pressure, right? Look at Astroport. Why? I mean, we can kind of sit back and talk about the pros and cons, but we do have to understand from their perspective, right? I'm sure they're on a timeline crunch that they have to deliver. So, you know, we're all in this rush to get things out, right? And sometimes, you know, it is better to take a step back and, you know, kind of slow down and calm down and look in 3 years terms, right? Instead of, I know crypto 3 years, that's like 10 years. So, you know, so that's why we're taking a different approach, right? Instead of rushing to a lot of things, we want to take a notch back, slow down a little bit, and just know that, hey, we're just in such an incredible industry where it's growing 30% month over month, right? For Uni V3 in terms of, you know, before the bear market. I mean, you know, before the third bear market of the year, right? so it's just amazing industry to be in. And,
you know, we just have to be more confident about the industry where we want to take a longer approach and most importantly, not burn out our team members, right? There's a lot of, you know, top builders out there. They started in 2018 and then, you know, their protocols got into the billion TVL and then that's it. You don't hear from them anymore. Why? Because they burn out and most likely because their team members burn out too, the core team members. So what we're trying to do here with Themis is we, you know, obviously we're not slacking. We're, you know, every day we're putting in the work, the sweat, but at the same time, we're taking a longer horizon approach, if that makes sense, right? Product market fit plus crypto incentives. I think that's where you'll see a lot of protocols take off with that model.
You know, talking about the future, long-term DeFi, I think I want to transition to maybe like the last part of this discussion. And we haven't really talked about the metaverse yet. A big part of sort of Themis' vision for the future is that we're all transitioning into spending more and more of our lives in a virtual world. And that these virtual assets are starting to have real value in ways that, you know, I would say people that aren't interested in DeFi would think of real world assets as having. Obviously, Themis is starting off just by lending, allowing people to borrow against NFTs that represent liquidity positions. But long term, you know, talking year, 2 years, 3 years, we see the potential for something like somebody taking out a mortgage on their property in Sandbox, something like that. So I guess I want to ask, Atera, how are you guys thinking about the metaverse? How are you guys thinking about the virtual world? Is there anything going on your side that's any projects that you guys are excited about that are building something in the metaverse or anything like that?
So I'll take this from like a DeFi side, right? Because that's kind of more where I'm in. I'm kind of in the anchor protocol research, sure. More on like DeFi side, but this is where it gets really interesting, I'm thinking. And I noticed, you know, you guys have NFTs, unlocking potential of NFT collateral, LP collateral. I think that's something that Anchor Protocol is going to have to look at. I sounded the alarm on this, and I plan on continuing to sound the alarm on it. We need to be moving at like light speed to unlock as many types of collateral assets as we can. And NFTs are one of them, right? And those tie directly into the gaming space and being able to unlock borrowing from the metaverse. These are all areas that I think are hugely relevant to our strategy over at Anchor. And that's how I see it from an Anchor perspective fitting in there. From a broader TFL perspective, I can't really answer that, but I'll leave it at that.
Awesome.
Yeah, I think Nate did a good job of answering that question. Yeah, the metaverse is a very interesting opportunity, you know, and there's a lot of moving parts within the metaverse, a lot of different verticals to pursue there. But I think that TFL is interested in the metaverse. And I think right now, one of the things that we can talk about is what Nate kind of already talked about. And so I'll leave it there for now.
Alpha denied. No worries. I think we'll take note, you know, we'll take note. There's definitely something big coming on. I think that's what I'm getting out of it. But yeah, regardless, NFT, right now, you know, with Themis, what we're focusing on right now is with, assets that are wrapped with NFTs, right? So for example, UniV3 LP positions, those are what we call NFT wrapper, essentially. It's a DeFi product, but wrapped around with NFT, and that's, going to be more prevalent in the near future as we continue to grow. And yeah, I think especially in GameFi world, you know, Sandbox world, I think as the NFT market mature, there's more and more intrinsic value to it. And what do I mean by intrinsic value? Where we can actually price it where it's not based on a perceived community value, right? In a sense where there's actually liquidity to it. There's actually, you know, at the end of the day, it's just better infrastructure, right? With better infrastructure, you know, for a protocol like Themis, where we can price it, where we can potentially liquidate it, there's enough liquidity to it, then, you know, we can make a sustainable market out of it, right? Money pool market. So I think that's going to be huge. And that's definitely part of our vision and roadmap, but that's something that we will mature with the
industry with the market. So that's where we position ourselves.
Man, this is it's been a good discussion. I guess at this point we can open it up to the rest of the people in this space. Does anyone have any questions they'd like to come forward and maybe sort of hop up on stage and ask something? If so, just request to speak and I'll just go ahead and turn your mic hot and let you talk.
Just wanted to say real quick, I do have to hop off in a couple minutes here because my mom's birthday was yesterday. I'm going to dinner to celebrate.
I have to hop off at the hour too. So I'll try to hang on as long as I can.
Yeah, you know, it doesn't look like anybody is sort of pinging me to hop on. So I think this might be a really good place to wrap it up. We really covered everything that we wanted to talk about. USD, stablecoins, DeFi, future. So
Metaverse.
I think it was a good discussion.
Absolutely. Yeah, thank you all.
Yeah, and thank you guys. I mean, you guys from Terra, this is we really appreciate you hopping on.
Yeah, we love it. And we'll be in touch too. I'm gonna DM you guys for something else I'm working on and we'll talk then.
Glad to hear
it. Beautiful.
All right, guys.
All right, guys.
Bye bye.
Thanks for checking out another episode of The Ether. That was the Themis, Terra, UST, DeFi, and Lending to the Metaverse Space, recorded on Thursday, January 20th, 2022. This episode of The Ether is brought to you by Talus. Talus Protocol is the NFT platform for independent artists on Terra. Talus helps to provide artists with the tools and resources needed to transition from traditional art into the NFT world. With their V1 launch coming soon, Talus will be the place to see real-world art reflected on Terra. Find your next favorite artist on talus.art. TerraSpaces appreciates their support. For TerraSpaces.org, I'm Finn. Thanks for listening.
When we blow through the dust, volcanoes erupt. No one ever guessed that the game would be tough. Keep your hands off when the play is a bust. Plain old and just, so we keep it on the one. Blast off on the two, help me see the three. Third eye open wide, checking out the scene. Razor beam focus, star scream jokers. Living off the fat of the people they approach. Tell me what happens when the land fights back. With the cliffs at our backs, make the last stand matter. No one ever planned for the famine on deck. We was walking all a wreck with a dead man's swagger. Sitting in a little den, envisioning the middlemen. Listen to the fiddle man play a little ditty, then talk about how all the leaders seem reptilian. Lost in the maze, trying to make the next billion. Talk about how all the leaders seem reptilian. Lost in the maze, trying to make the next billion. In a little den, envisioning the middlemen. Listen to the fiddle man play a little ditty, then talk about how all the leaders seem reptilian. Lost in the maze, trying to make the next billion. No one gave a shit till the drugs all dried up. Everybody died from a bad batch of Lysol, but it didn't matter. We was all hyped up when the pedal hit the metal. He just didn't have the right skill. Watched in the daytime till the night curfew. Rats in a cage till they make time to murk you. Got a little job that falls under my purview. We gotta get this mob away from the bird's view. Gotta find cover, wipe off the bird poop, ride off the work while you try on the worst juice. Blinded by perps who try to reverse truth. Slide like Fox News just trying to lie to you. Eating up the slop like a bunch of hungry vagrants. I can't wait for the day they lock us up in stasis. Mock up a basement, could call me resilient. Waiting for the internet to make me a billion. In a little den, envisioning the middlemen. Listen to the fiddle man play a little ditty, then talk about how all the leaders seem reptilian. Lost in the maze, trying to make the next billion. Talk about how all the leaders seem reptilian. Lost in the maze, trying to make the next billion.
Terra Spaces.